looks like everybody made it back. Now, trick will be keep everybody awake after lunch, and now that is. Our next topic is another one that came via the internet on an inquiry last year, and after looking at the different emails, I thought it would be appropriate to add the subject as an agenda item for the conference. And I've asked Santa Cruz and Calaveras counties to, because they seem to be the most knowledgeable when I looked at the emails, that they would do this presentation. And without any further comments, I believe Will is going to start from Santa Cruz.
So I might have to resort to jokes or something. But anyway, I was just going to talk about our issue in Santa Cruz, how we and why we converted to geodatabase from our CAD-based mainframe system. And it's not a simple answer to as to whether you should do this or not. It's a fairly complex issue, and you basically have to first look at your data and see if you have, if it's ready for that kind of conversion, if you have everything you need. So, you know, you have the weighing of pros and cons. In our case, the pros won out. Even though it was a lengthy process, and we don't have the luxury of big staff or didn't have a lot of money to invest, we struggled through and made it happen. And we're able to keep on top of our work, get all our positive changes done. Let's see, I have to run back and forth here, the slides. We started our initial GIS in the early 90s, and it was based on digitized assessor's maps and maintained in AutoCAD and housed in a mainframe system. And our reasons for transitioning were basically the fact that the mainframe system was slowly but surely breaking down, and mainframe programmers were retiring at the fast pace, and the support was basically not there. They're struggling through with half broken systems. The data format didn't allow us to distribute the data in an efficient way. The alignment process itself, where we align other parcel related layers and administrative layers to the parcel base, that was a very lengthy and cumbersome process. So we needed to get away from that. Because of file size restrictions, we needed to keep our assessor's parcel data cut up into parcel books. So we had 103 book files, AutoCAD files, that then had to be consolidated the end of every update period, consolidated into a countywide file. So this was another really big job that had to happen. Unfortunately, we ended up with gaps and overlaps when we did maintenance and work batteries. So then we were the recipients of error reports, and it was never fun. We updated our internet and intranet applications with those updated files every 6 to 8 weeks after we built the shape files. And it wasn't a very fast system. You had to wait there and watch the ball spin for a couple of minutes before you saw any picture on the screen. And it's, you know, you need instant gratifications these days, so no one was happy with that. Can you please get the next slide? During our migration, or before our migration, we developed a very detailed migration strategy. We've actually been working on this with ESRI for a while, but hadn't quite narrowed down an exact strategy. And then we had to decide, you know, how were we going to keep our data in this new system? And ESRI established a fairly comprehensive parcel or data model, which they did for Oakland County, Michigan. And we basically designed our parcel data model on that. We took only portions of it, because the Oakland County data model, it involves or maintains like what we do in a tabular database. It's all incorporated into this data model in program. But we keep that separate in our county. So we only took the spatially related portions of it. And we had to analyze all our on our data layers, all the layers we had in our AutoCAD drawings, see how they related to each other. We had to combine some of them and split them up into features. And in the case of the parcel lines, of the boundary lines, we decided to go for subtypes. So we have our boundary layer, a separate layer with multiple subtypes. We had to basically pull out all the data out of these 103 map books and make seamless layers. In addition to that, we have our dimension information all only on the map pages. We have over 4,000 map pages. You have to open every single drawing and pull out the dimensions and create the seamless layers. We did all of this in a personal geodatabase, and then ran topology rules on the whole thing. It took days. I cleaned up our data that way before we moved it into the SDE. We did develop pretty detailed procedures for our both the parcel maintenance and then the page creation. And Jim has graciously published that on our website, so if any of you want to look at how we do it, it's all there. The rewards for doing this were that we could leave our old broken down legacy system behind. Don't have to deal with that anymore. We now have a seamless parcel layer. That's a lot cleaner to manage that than having all the different books. Don't have the gaps and overlaps anymore. And having the topology to check everything after we do our maintenance, it has eliminated the error reports. We do not get them anymore. The workflow and the speed of processing the changes has improved markedly. We are working real time. Unfortunately, our feed section is a little bit behind the reporting date, but as soon as we get the work in, we deal with it and send it out. So it will be real time once the feed section passes up. We have one of the benefits is that our data now is in the same system as a lot of other county data is. And one of them is an application that the Public Works Department developed, where they digitized or DOT reference all the survey maps. So we can bring that layer into our data and see if you, if you're doing focal work somewhere and need to fit it into the rest of the parcel fabric. We can bring up the layer, the survey boundary index, and see what survey maps pertain to that area. And then we can just bring up the survey maps. They're not hot linked yet, but we have access to them on the Pedagog server. So that has saved us multiple trips up to the fourth floor, and it just makes our work so much easier. This, the speed of serving up the data on our IMS side is so much faster, so much easier. And we have the data distribution within the county has been streamlined. It's a lot easier. We take all the data and we split it up into logical groupings. So like our cadastral data is in the same grouping as, the, for instance, the survey index and various other things that, that people would look at if they're dealing with cadastral data. And we have one of our plans for the, probably for this winter is that to develop an IMS application for our appraisers. This data is now much more available for us to use, just even within the office. So we will develop an application to for the appraisers to do their deal with their appeal process. They have to go and find comparable properties and justify their appraisals. So that should be allow them to use this data, which has been kind of closed off for them.
What type of applications? Talk about the appraisers using this.
They're IMS applications. It would be like an intranet application where we will just link the data that they need with the spatial data. As it is, each appraiser has their territory, and they will look within that territory for comparable sales. And they have the markers at the desks, and they go and look where they mark down, you know, the sales and stuff. So in this case, they can go and go out of their area because now they have the whole parcel layer available to them, and that, you know, comparable sale may be across the highway, but that's somebody else's area, and they wouldn't necessarily see it if they're just looking, you know, in the on the paper maps. So it's a lot easier for them to work with that, and it's the same with the business property. We have a plan for application for them as well to practice this. So the data menu application that's on the bottom bullet there is that's the inter-county application. So anyone who wants can have that application. Anyone who has the software can have that application on the desktop, and it'll bring up a menu with the logical groupings of the data. So next slide, please. You know, this is, of course, there's a lot of things that can stand in your way if you're going to do this, and it is definitely expensive. You need some time to train staff. If it's a new concept that you have to use the software, so something to get used to, definitely. Having an SE geodatabase, it definitely needs some attention sometimes from technologically knowledgeable people. Sometimes the software doesn't do everything that you want it to do. Sometimes it just basically shuts you down and makes your life miserable. But the key is good customer support. When we first started this, we didn't even think about we need to make sure the software company has, you know, dedicated staff to deal with our problems. So every time you call for a problem, you just don't call in cold and talk to someone who doesn't have a clue who you are or what your system is. But now we established better relationships, and we have people that we can go to rather than just calling the helpline and waiting for a random person to call us back. So that really is a key, as we found it, to have someone to talk to, a friend that is right. I found that because of dealing with ESRI problems, I did find this very good quote. I thought I was dealing with annotation, and was very frustrated when I came home and I grabbed my cocktail recipe book out of the shelf and opened it, and lo and behold, there was this quote by Louis Armstrong. So that's basically my 10-minute presentation. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Or do you, shall we wait with questions until after Donna talks? Yeah.
Well, did you, when you started, were all the assessor's maps in AutoCAD?
Yes, and that was really a key because of how we used the AutoCAD maps in creating our ArcMap maps. We used a lot of data.
How did they all get in AutoCAD format? Did you draw it in-house, or did you have to have...
In-house.
You did?
Yeah. We had just finished that that transition when we then went on to the design projects.
How many pages do you have to something?
How many pages? It's about 4,400 pages. But we're not converting them just en masse, just as needed. Yeah.
When you converted, did you keep the parcel numbering system, or did you change?
No, we keep the parcel numbering system, one thing at a time. I don't think we'll change the parcel numbers unless the state makes us. Yeah.
So what's the database you're using for that?
Database, we're on SQL, if that's what you're asking?
Server 2000?
Yeah, Server 2000, yeah. We just upgraded to 9.1, SDE 9.1, ArcMap 9.1. So, dealing with a few problems as a result of that, but I think it's all been sorted out. Yeah.
Did you explain all this to the assessors this week? Because I think it's wonderful information about the work that goes into it, but what's even better is the outcome. And I think that you explain it so well that you just went right to the assessor's office,
but
I think it was this week, and explain all this
for us.
It would be tremendous.
I think they prefer to be blissfully unaware. Max running out of their office, keep the door closed and don't make any noise, just take the maps up. No, that actually isn't true. No, our assessor is supportive. And one thing that our county did was we did a pretty substantial needs assessment for almost all the departments. And out of that needs assessment, we categorized what are the applications that we can develop that serve most people's needs. So that's out of that needs assessment came those two things that I mentioned for the appraisers and our business appraisers. So that's the assessor is very much aware of that. But I'll be happy to talk to your
guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you still have assessor's maps or just the GIS?
No, we do have map cases. Yeah, definitely map cases, yes.
Do you, if you've taken a book and put it into the GIS and then that page changes, do you extract that out in the traditional assessor format?
Yeah.
And make a copy?
We do the maintenance in the Leo database, in the seamless fabric. Mm-hmm. And then we pull the newly configured parcels out. We use a data query where we query out the parcels that are labeled to that page. Mm-hmm. And then we go and import the AutoCAD page certain layers from the AutoCAD page to show like the other side of the street and all the references to the neighboring pages and books. So there are some, actually, yeah, I think there might be an example of a page. Is it not? Is it on our website?
Is it?
I can, if you want to email me, then I can send you samples of pages.
So each new page is a map layout?
It's an MXD file. And then you save, export them to PDFs.
Yeah.
To print them and distribute.
How did you resolve all the overlaps, the gaps, and all that?
Topology. That's like the really cool thing about this. We set rules. It's like no lines can overlap, no gaps can exist, and various other rules where we have to decide how each layer kind of works with another layer. So if you have two partial polygons and they overlap, policy will make a big ugly mark and tell you, no, you fixed that, I'm not accepting that. So it keeps us honest.
It'll tell you where the problems exist, but you said how to fix it.
How do you resolve them?
Yeah, well, initially we went through and we cleaned the data, scrubbed it, good. and the things that come up now are just things that happen in the areas where we were working.
Surveys.
So, yeah, you're already working there. Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you.